The Chosen Dead by M. R. Hall. Read by Sean Thomas. Nature has provided us with a spectacular toolbox. The toolbox exists. An architect far better and smarter than us has given us that toolbox, and we now have the ability to use it. Barry Schuller, from his TED lecture, Genomics 101. Chapter 1. Scottsdale, Arizona, 12th of March, 1982. The last thing Roy Emmett Hudson was expecting on the eve of his 41st birthday was a bullet in the head. But life and death are only a single breath apart, and as a biologist, he appreciated that more than most. Even as he strolled across the company lot to the Mercedes coupe he had driven all winter without once raising the roof, his killer's thoughts were already moving on to where they might dump the body so that it might never be found. They were from out of town, and unfamiliar with the wilderness into which the city merged only a few miles away from the Air Park business zone. Unaware of what awaited him, Hudson counted himself a lucky man. There was no other word to describe the turn of events that had placed him in the ideal position at the perfect time. Aside from the gifted few who had secured comfortable professorships in Ivy League schools, most of his peers from the Brown class of 66 were grinding out their best years in the labs and offices of the giant farmers back east. They had become company men and women who had left their scientific ideals behind to climb the greasy pole, and save for a retirement they might never reach in sufficient health to enjoy. He, on the other hand, had taken a chance. Or had chance taken him? He couldn't decide. Either way, it had all come down to an ad in the appointment section that had lain discarded on the seat of a commuter train, which he rode no more than 3 times each year. If he hadn't chosen that particular Tuesday morning to put his car into the shop, or if he had arrived on the platform 30 seconds sooner, in time to catch the earlier train, his working days would still have been spent on the 15th floor of the Meditech building, wondering what had happened to the young man who was going to save the lives of millions and collect a Nobel Prize. The ad had simply read, "Biotech startup is seeking gifted and motivated scientists with experience in recombinant gene technology. Full details on application. Resume to box 657. The few colleagues to whom he had shown it dismissed the ad as having been placed by some gimcrack outfit trying to hitch up to the latest bandwagon. Either that, or it was a sneaky ploy by one of the big corporates to test the loyalty of its precious R&D teams. Hudson hadn't been so sure. He had had an instinct, a stirring in his gut, that he hadn't felt since he'd first stepped off the Greyhound and hauled his grip through the front gates of Brown. And he'd been right to trust it. The three directors of Genix, all young and visionary men, had wanted to attract only those curious and adventuresome enough to leave comfortable careers behind for an exciting and uncertain future. They could guarantee only 12 months' modest salary, but offered generous share options to be taken up after 3 years' service. If by that time the company had filed no patents, nor had any realistic prospect of doing so, their backers would pull the plug. Simple. It had taken Hudson's team of 15 less than a year to splice human DNA into E. coli bacteria and start producing human growth hormone at a level which showed potential for future industrial production. This early success had made real the possibility that all manner of previously rare and expensive therapeutic drugs could in future be grown cheaply and in bulk by genetically altered microorganisms. The investors piled in with more money than Genix knew how to spend. 5 months down the line, Hudson was running a team of 50 and racing Eli Lilly, Smith Kline, and Johnson & Johnson all the way to the US Patent Office. By the time he picked up his share options, he figured they'd be worth more than $10 million. Beneath the ice-blue desert sky, in this brand-new city where anything felt possible, Hudson marvelled at how close he had come to letting his dreams slip away. Back east, his vaulting ambitions had seemed more